The deepwater oil drilling ban has been lifted in the U.S., but what about in Europe?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects the United States. The Obama administration has lifted its ban on deepwater oil drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. Meanwhile, today, the European Commission is proposing its own moratorium on deep-sea oil drilling, at least until the U.S. inquiry into the Gulf spill has been published. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London with the story. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So the European Commission seems to be more worried about deepwater drilling than our own government here in the States. I mean, would there likely be a moratorium there in Europe?
It seems doubtful, to be frank. It's a bit of a gesture. The European Commission doesn't have the power to impose a moratorium, and the member countries with major oil companies say they don't need one. They're confident their safety regulations are robust.
Now, we know BP and Royal Dutch Shell both have big operations in the Gulf of Mexico. What impact will lifting the moratorium have on businesses there?
Well, it's probably going to be many weeks before drilling resumes because all the companies there have to apply for new permits. Obviously, it's going to be less profitable in the future for these companies because of tougher regulations. But Nick McGregor of brokers Redmayne Bentley says BP and Shell wouldn't consider pulling out of the Gulf.
The amount of oil involved and the fact that they are restricted in the numbers of areas in the world in which they are welcome these days mean that they will still operate in this area and they will still pump resources into it.
Indeed, Shell seems to be trying to ingratiate itself with the American authorities, angling for new permits. Yesterday, the Shell CEO criticized BP's well design and lack of safety measures in the Gulf, putting as much distance between himself and BP as possible.
All right, Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thank you so much.
Okay, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are on the rise today. The Federal Reserve showed signs of more economy tinkering, and computer chipmaker Intel reported some stellar earnings late yesterday. Wall Street Tuesday, markets managed slight gains. The Dow did stay above 11,000. Ever been caught off guard by your cell phone bill? It's the subject of the conversation today when the chair of the Federal Communications Commission outlines plans to prevent surprises on that cell phone bill. Chicago Public Radio's Tony Arnold reports.
Roaming charges, text message fees, and using too many minutes. If you've ever experienced any of these symptoms, you may be one of 30 million Americans who suffer from
bill shock.
FCC Chairman Julius Genachowski says cell phone bills are out of control.
We see that the magnitude of the problem is large enough that it requires action. It won't fix itself.
Ellen Bloom says she is one of those 30 million Americans.
I have experienced bill shock.
Bloom is a senior director with Consumers Union. She says she wants to see a universal policy for cell phone companies, one that requires them to notify talkers and texters when they're getting close to their limits.
There's a lot of lack of awareness, and I don't think that the burden should fall solely on the consumer.
But she says cell phone users need to be more aware of extra charges in their contract. In Chicago, I'm Tony Arnold from Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. By Novo Nordisk, since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at novonordisk-us.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE.
The New York Times ran an article a week and a half ago that basically said the Las Vegas economy was as dry as the desert sand, and Sin City is not recovering as fast as other cities across the country. Las Vegas Review-Journal entertainment columnist Doug Elfman took issue with the Times assessment and talked to me about it a few days ago at a popular gathering place right on the Strip. Doug Elfman, thanks for meeting me here at the Las Vegas Sun.
Thanks. It's a real pleasure.
So why this place? Why are we here talking near the Las Vegas Sun? It's a pretty touristy place, right?
This is quite the touristy place, you know. And as you can see, it's just wall-to-wall tourists, sort of. I mean, as much as you can get. Cars coming in. You can see the planes coming in. And unlike what some people might think, Vegas is sort of bouncing back.
So what are the signs of economic recovery then?
Gambling revenue up 21%. Casino proceeds up 4.5%. Casino revenues up 12%. Visitors coming to Vegas has been up for 12 straight months to 25 million people. It's been up 2.5% this year. Car traffic's up 4.4%. I could go on and on. We have lots of signs, and if you live here and you actually come here, you know all this.
What are the sources for all this? Where'd you get this information?
All this stuff is all legitimate. I didn't make this up out of the desert sky. We're not fully recovered, obviously, but we're on the road.
When you talk to locals here, what are they telling you? You sort of work the beat, right?
Yeah. Okay, well, on the downside, there's quite a few people in town who've been working 60 hours a week for six days a week for 2 years, ever since the recession kicked in. Because remember, unemployment is high at 14%. So a lot of people are tired, but we still smile and we still get through it because it's Vegas and we're a service industry.
As a journalist myself, I throw out these facts to you about the high unemployment, high foreclosure rates here in Nevada. How do you dispute that? I mean, what do you say to me if I'm saying, you know what, look, I mean, yeah, it's Vegas. Of course it's busy. Of course there are people here. It's a vacation spot and all of that. But you can't trump the fact that you've got these high unemployment and high foreclosure numbers.
We are recovering now. I'm not saying that we don't have 14% unemployment. Think about it this way. Everybody loves analogies, right? So here's a good chicken and egg analogy for you. The chicken for Las Vegas is we have to get people in the rooms to spend money on gambling and spend money on shows and spend money on concerts and nightclubs and restaurants. And then when they do enough of that, then employers stop being afraid and they start hiring more people.
The eternal optimist. Doug Elfman, thanks.
Sure, thanks.
And finally, I can remember as a teenager watching that U2 video filmed atop a high-rise building in downtown Los Angeles. It caused a big commotion at the time. The song was Where the Streets Have No Name. Yesterday, another rock group, one not quite as famous, tried to film a video on an L.A. street that does have a name. It's called the 101 Hollywood Freeway. The band Imperial Stars Big Truck blocked most of the lanes, or five lanes, I think it blocked four of them, which caused a nightmarish backup there. The California Highway Patrol arrested the musicians. They faced charges of obstructing justice and traffic, I should say. And I'm thinking the thousands of Angelenos who were stuck don't want to remember the song Traffic Jam 101. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Walmart is the big box store that everybody loves to hate. Except, of course, if they're looking to rent your vacant storefront from you.
Listen, if they ring the phone and they say, hi, I'm Walmart, I want to look at your site. You don't walk to meet them, you run to meet them.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Smaller Walmart's coming soon to a neighborhood near you. Also coming next time to Marketplace. It's from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.